from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on Cody and Gold Live in St. Joe. Chiefs training camp practice wrapped up for the day. First padded practice of 2024. As we mentioned a little bit earlier, Xavier Worthy was back out there today. Nazee Johnson was also back out there, which was a really good sign. We're going to hear from Andy Reid in just a second. Also expected to hear from Patrick Mahomes. And to be determined if we have a player stop by or not today for practice, and I think we might be having Noah Gray possibly signing autographs. I don't know if he's coming for us or not. It looks like maybe he's just signing some autographs, Cody, so we'll see.
Well, like, stand up here, take a stretch. And Chris Jones didn't come by for his traditional postgame.
Cody, you grabbed a couple
snow
of snow cones.
You did. So if he wants one now, or if you want one gold, I believe they're up for grabs. The second you start eating it, you know Jones would come by and be like, hey, where's that at?
I'm eating your snow cone. We're going to hear what Dak Prescott had to say also, and I think he reminded us of the position that star quarterbacks are in when it comes to the 2024 NFL season. But let's go to the media tent and hear from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid, who gave an update on some of the injuries.
All right, just Justin Reid and Watson didn't go today. Xavier was back out there working. So good day, back in pads. Which is a positive. The guys moved around great. We're in this ramp-up phase, so this is an hour and 40 minute practice, and then we'll kick it up a little bit more tomorrow, eventually get, you know, to our normal practice. But I thought the guys worked hard. They challenged each other back and forth, offense, defense, positive. Time's yours.
Andy, how would you assess James Lee in his first day with pads and how that left tackle position's going?
Yeah, listen, he did some good. All four of those guys are working hard, so. The tackles, I'm saying, both the two deep looks on either side. So I thought he did a nice job for what I saw. I mean, I've got to go up and look at it, see where we're at. But he's working through some things and, you know, learning. You know, and as long as he keeps working, and this goes for all of them, they keep working, they'll be fine.
All right, so that was some of what Andy Reid had to say. We'll get back to that in just a little bit. But joining us here in our Comcast business tent is George Karloftis, Chiefs defensive lineman, in our player interviews here on 610 Sports Radio, brought to you by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. Plan your trip today. We had you on last year, man. Does it feel any different? It's another year you're coming off your best year of your career.
Yeah, man. You know, just blessed to be out here. You know, we get another chance to do something special again this year. You know, I feel like for myself and speaking for the whole D-line, everybody's improved, so just excited for the season.
How was the offseason? I mean, it must be nice to get another ring and everything, but what did you do to get away?
You know, it's great to get some downtime. You know, I went back home and, you know, just trained and relaxed, and that's really about it. Try to get better.
The relaxing part seems like it's a big key for a lot of the athletes. Like, I just need some Is it just like zone out downtime? How do you relax?
Yeah, I guess a little bit. Like it's different for everybody. You know, I think you have to go on some kind of vacation just to kind of get away. Other guys just like being at home and just chilling out. You know, I love being at home with my girlfriend and my dog, or just hanging out with my family. So
okay, what kind of dog?
I have a Bouvier de Flanders mixed with a poodle. His name's Ralph. So.
Oh, hyperallergenic, it sounds like.
He is.
I was like, that sounds like a nice.
I don't even know. I'm trying to picture how big is the dog?
It's like 135 pounds.
Oh, wow.
That's a good size.
He's big.
You're going through some dog food, to say the least. Now,
yes.
We had Mike Pennell on the show the other day, and he gave you a ton of credit. We were talking about food. He said he thinks he's still the best cook, but he said you're the grill master of the team.
Yeah, I'm not huge on cooking. I can grill, though. That's my thing.
So. You said you get meat shipped in?
Yeah. Yeah, we usually
get Greece?
It. Yes.
What kind?
A bunch of different stuff. You know, stuff that I like to make, like souvlaki, or like these specific lamb chops, some sausages, stuff like that.
Okay, I did specifically say, I'm not even kidding, this is funny enough timing. He came on, he was our last guest on the show, and I said, I'm just going to tell you right now, Mike, that I'm going to try to be your plus one. If George sits with us, I'm going to say, can I get to this dinner one time? What do I have to do to get myself to your house for dinner one time?
It was a part of the Chiefs defensive line. If you're not a part of that fraternity. Yeah.
So unless I can get to the defensive line of the Kansas City Chiefs, I'm out?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that's probably out. I gotta be honest, George.
That was a very nice way to shut you down, by the way.
Yeah, he went with eternity.
He went with the angle of, well, you're just not a football player. You're not in the fifth. Versus, like, hell no.
Uh huh.
Yeah, that was a very nice way to go about it.
So, if you're making just one dish, though, what is it? Like, if you're saying, hey, everyone's coming over, defensive line's coming over again, I want to make the thing I think I make best on the grill. What is it?
Probably lamb chops. I can make really, really good lamb chops.
That was exactly what Pennell mentioned. That was the specific dish that he mentioned of yours as well.
Yeah, I can make fish real well, souvlaki, which is like these pork skewers, really everything. That's my favorite thing. I'd say that's the best thing I make. I make a pretty good steak, too. So
when you look at what the rest of this team has to accomplish, we talked about the pressure a little bit of the three-peat, and I don't think that just goes away. Does it kick in the early going where you're like, you know, it's the goal, but like, does the we've done this two times in a row, how do we get to a third time in a row kicking early, or is it the dog days, right?
No, it's not. You know, right now you're just, you know, obviously that's the end goal, and it's not really all about getting three. It's about getting the next one. You know, that's been big with us. Just that's the goal every year, and that should be the goal for each team in the league, you know. So being able to get the next one and, you know, having that experience, I feel like benefits us and will benefit us in the long run. But just knowing that there's a process to this whole thing, and, you know, you got to get better every single day. You got to first make this team and work your butt off in the off season and during training camp and stuff to get to that level, to be able to compete and be one of the best individually and as a team, and then take that to having team success.
I think last year you told us you maybe weren't a big, like, write down individual goal guy. Are you? Do you do that? Do you say, I want X number of sacks, I want X number of tackles?
I mean, I do it, and I like to keep it to myself for the most part. You know, so, you know, obviously the team goal and the one goal, it's going to be the same for every person on this team, you know. And
win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
All right, the group chat yesterday, did that Mahomes puppet video get circulated a little bit?
I saw it on Twitter. You know, I don't, you know, we'll see what happens when we play them, so.
In October, I guess. Is that the circle one?
October 27th and November 29th. I got the dates.
Did Mahomes feel the same? Like, he's talked a little bit about last season. You guys won the Super Bowl. So, in the end, you are as happy as can be. He still describes last season as being, like, annoying.
Yeah.
Is that how you guys felt during the – like, is that how you still feel about last regular
season? We just felt like we were a better team than what we put out there a lot of the time. Obviously, we finished how we wanted to finish, but we feel like we have a lot more to prove. And, you know, I'm not going to say we have any regrets, but we felt like we could – We didn't play to our standard all the time, and when eventually that kicked in, you saw what happened. But we just have to, you know, it's like a switch, like an on-off switch, but you can't, there's no off. So the switch has got to be on the whole time.
George, I know you got to run. Things got moved around just a little bit. We appreciate you stopping by.
Absolutely.
And thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
There you go. That's George Karloftis joining us here on 610 Sports Radio. All our Chiefs player interviews brought to you by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. Plan your trip today. Look, you asked them. We were going to ask them about the video. They obviously have all seen the Kermit the Frog / Mahomes video from a Raiders player. I think it was pretty obvious right then. He said he knew the exact date.
I saw it.
He knew the. They saw it. They know the exact date they play the Raiders, and they'll leave it at that. They're all well aware. And that's why I cannot wait for October. He's had the date. We were trying to figure out the date. He had the date for us. October 27th.
God, he said the date. And I look, dude, for one week at a time, what do you think, he's got the date of every game memorized on the schedule? I don't think so, man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They probably got the first one circled. They probably know the date of the first game.
Well, that's what he said. Oh, yeah, yeah. You're just saying in general.
But, you know, I don't know how many other dates he could just fly off the top of his head.
Yeah, like, what's the day of the game against blank team? This one they now – see, that's why it was silly if you're the Raiders. Why even open yourself up to that one player in particular with the video yesterday? But he did confirm the cookie. He also shot you down on the invite. That was a nice way for him to do it without embarrassing you, I think.
The
you
fact
know,
that
he didn't
they actually
flat
brought
out
him
no.
up was incredible. I was oh, my gosh, they actually got
no.
George.
It was definitely a no.
It was definitely. There wasn't like some wiggle room, maybe. That was a no. That was a hard no.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I accept. He said that was for the defensive line. So if I could become an NFL defensive lineman, I might be getting
that. That was a really nice way for him to do it without saying no. He's just like, oh, well, it's just for my teammates. Oh, okay. I understand. Versus, yeah, man, there's no chance you're showing up.
I still can't believe he's flying in his own meat. That's impressive. Like, he's out here just having like stuff shipped from across the world. Just to make sure he gets exactly what he wants out of it. That's impressive to me. I don't know. One way or the other, I'm surprised by it. The defensive line is still the strength of this defense. It's actually more important than it used to be now, Gold, because the secondary could be slightly weaker without L'Jarius Sneed. Likely is slightly weaker without L'Jarius Sneed. Still a lot of depth and a chance to cover his loss with some of the other talent they have. But the defensive line has been the focus of this defense the last 2 years, a defense that has been really good the last 2 years, and they're going to have to be again.
Yeah, I wish we had more time with them, but we didn't know who we were getting today, and there was some last-minute shuffling around, and so
movement.
We were only told we had 5 minutes. So, yeah, there was other things we wanted to talk about. I wanted to ask him, as someone else mentioned on the text line, about yesterday with Kadarius Toney, where Toney threw the football at him, things like that. We were not expecting to have Karloff this.
And then he was here pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know, he did get a snow cone, though. Chris Jones didn't stop by for his, so
yeah.
It's all yours, man. It's all yours. I believe that one was tiger's blood and...
That's one of the best flavors.
Lime.
That is one of the best flavors.
Oh, tiger's blood guy, huh?
Let's pick back up where we were at when it came to Andy Reid. We were in the middle of his press conference when George stopped by, so let's go right back out to Andy Reid.
Mike Gannon's kind of an unsung guy on this defense. Can you tell me what he means to the defense and how happy you were that you guys were able to bring him back?
Yeah. Yeah, so Mike... he goes 100 miles an hour every play. He never says a word. He just works. And you appreciate that. You know, you hear about bringing your lunch pail and all that. That's him. That's how he goes. Good representative of Michigan football, man. You know, so.
Can you tell the sermon on defense and maybe understanding the playbook, speed of the game, comfortability from Felix from now year one and year two?
And get off. That's what you're seeing. More comfortable with that. Getting himself upfield, moving. I think he's more confident in what we're doing and what he's doing. So, yeah.
Do you anticipate Justin Watson being out for a long period?
I don't think so. I think it's been 9 days since the injury, so it hadn't been that long. But, you know, we'll see. There's nobody that wants to be out here more than he does. So he doesn't miss. I mean, he's that guy. So for him to miss, it's driving him crazy. Both he and Toney are going nutty over this thing.
Coach Xavier was out earlier this week. Now he's back. The first day in pads.
Yeah, he had strep throat. So he worked his way through that. You got to, you know, quarantined up here in the dorms. So we let him out. He's out and practicing. He feels good. You know, his weight's where it needs to be. He lost a little bit and then he was able to get it back. So, we watched him, try to monitor him today. Just like, you know, we're doing with Hilaire. We're doing the same thing. He had been sick and we're just kind of monitoring him, going through and kind of ramping him up as he goes and giving him not quite as many reps as what he would normally have. So, but that's what we're...
With Nico Rivigio, Dave Toe, Matt Nagy both have said that's a guy that they're rooting for. What makes him one of those guys as a coach that you kind of had a feeling for?
Yeah, smart, hard worker. He tries his best every play, and he studies. You can tell he studies because he knows all the spots. He's got a great attitude, positive attitude. So those kind of guys you pull for. He's a lot like you, Matt, doggone it.
Andy,
well,
sorry, I was asking about Justin,
Justin
Watson, not Justin
Reed. I'm sorry. Yeah, so Justin Watson, he's working and doing his thing. We don't really have a timeline on him yet. We're just kind of playing it by ear. We'll see where that goes. But it's day to day.
Andy, what are your thoughts on Carson Wentz, the first, not bad at practice, but just
helping? Yeah. Yeah, Carson Wentz, I think he's doing a heck of a job. He's a fast learner, wants to do it the right way. He's got a good feel for the game. I think we're fortunate to have him, yeah.
What about your wide receiver core? Obviously, you had wide receivers come and go since your time there. What about this group excites you the most?
Yeah, I like their attitude. I mean, you're not seeing them pull themselves out. They're fighting through things. There's competition. They've got speed, and the fast guys are trying to maintain that through the practice, which isn't an easy thing to do. But they're pushing themselves there, and I like their attitude. And we've got some depth there, so they keep challenging each other. We'll be better. Yeah.
Andy, with the deep game, first team period, you just try to stress it going deep. Just how would you assess how that's going so far and just how it's just trying to pull into this?
Yeah, you've got to work it. So it's those aren't real high percentage throws necessarily. So, but in a lot of it's because of the distance, obviously. But it's also that you have a tendency not to work them when things get hot and humid and all that. So you get them knocked out and work it. And push yourself through those. Yeah.
And Tamba has worked with George and now Felix in the offseason. What's that mean to have a guy like Tamba still have ownership and work with some of these young defensive linemen?
Yeah, Tamba's all in. He does a great job with all that. He does the martial arts things with him, judo and all that, jiu-jitsu. And probably none of them can whip him. So, he's pretty good at all that stuff. But I think it's great. It's great exercise. And you want to find out about, how you can handle your body and through endurance and when being physical, that's a good way to go.
So that was Andy Reid speaking to the media after today's practice. A little bit of an update, or I guess if you want to call it an update on Justin Watson, as in they're not sure yet. Day-to-day, the old day-to-day for Justin Watson. Had the foot injury yesterday, did not practice today. And so it didn't sound like somebody that's going to be back at practice tomorrow or Sunday, though, when it comes to his status. Mentioned Xavier Worthy, as we mentioned, we saw he was back at practice today. Did say he lost some weight while having strep, but they think he's got it back already.
Well, I mean, that'll happen. When you can't, strep, though, probably makes you not want to eat a whole lot there, Alex,
yes.
I would assume.
Yes.
So, yeah, you probably lose a couple of pounds, but when you're a professional athlete working on those things together, I'm sure that you are more equipped to put that weight back on a little bit sooner. We're expecting to have our guy Nate Taylor come join us here in a few minutes. He said he's walking on over. Thanks again, as you mentioned, to George Karloftis. But, yeah, today's biggest surprise was that there was a couple of guys who weren't practicing that, to this point, Gold, I just assumed were fine. Like, I didn't know, to this point, Derek Nnadi and Jalen Watson were playing, right? We didn't see them not on the practice field up to this stage. So I just kind of assumed that those guys were good to go versus the ones we knew. Right, Justin Watson. It was good to see Nazi Johnson on the way back. He was the first guy who ran out with the cornerback two spot today. Doesn't mean it's his job, but they love. Yeah. I always, we've said this 2 days in a row, but they loved him in camp last year.
He was having a great camp. And
they were
gushing
about Nazi Johnson before he got hurt.
He did, and so it was a nice showing from him today. Look, it's one day with pads on for the offensive line, but if you were to pick an area where you're like, okay, there's the defense got a leg up, the left tackles, whether it was Wanyi or Kingsley, did struggle in some of the one-on-one drills. That's on one angle. The other angle, you say, wow, Felix actually looked good today. Felix got the better of Wanyi and Morris on a couple of the drills, so we'll see as camp progresses. But today, I think if you're given who won the one-on-ones, the defense, the defensive ends against the left tackles,
it was a rough day today for the left tackles. And the defense overall won, I would say. It was a bad day for the offense, good day for the defense. But the left tackles got beat up a little bit today. That's one-on-one drills.
While we're waiting for Nate Taylor to join us, Patrick Mahomes did speak as well, and you already heard Carl Loftus with us when we asked him about the Kermit the Frog Mahomes video. I basically was like, oh, we saw it. We know the dates. We know when we're playing them. Here's what Patrick Mahomes had to say about that as well. You can play the full audio, Drew. That's all right. You can play the whole presser audio.
Yeah, I thought he had a good day today. First day in pads, first day, third and long, Spags bringing his blitzes. I thought he did a good job. I mean, obviously, I haven't got to see the tape yet, but for the most part, man, he's getting better every day, and that's all you can ask for with a young guy.
First team period going deep, I think 7 out of 8 times you did that, but checked out Hollywood in between. Just how would you assess that deep route, how it's just formulated all those guys?
Yeah, it's getting better and better. Obviously, we missed on some today. We've hit on some earlier in camp, but that's what we're doing it for. We're out here to practice, try to shoot the ball down the field. But going against one of, not the best defense in the National Football League with Spags in them. And so I thought guys have done a great job of building, and we'll continue to get better and better with building chemistry as camp goes on.
With Ramiro, you've got to know him a little bit now. Mm-hmm. What is it, you know, some of the coaches have been saying that they're rooting for him. What's it like? What's it work with him that makes him that one of those guys that you want to root for?
Yeah, he just works extremely hard. He's always asking the right questions. Always wants to get extra work, and that's what you want. He's true pro. And so he just comes to work every single day with a smile on his face. He wants to work hard and get better and better. And it's not like he's going out there and hating on someone else, man. He wants everybody to get better with him. And I think that's why everybody loves him in that room. And he's seen the positive signs coming every single day, and he continues to get better.
Patrick, great players use things that are, you know, around just as motivation.
Yeah.
I know you've probably seen the video of the Raiders with the Muppet of you. Is that something that you kind of compartmentalize and use it when you get ready to play them?
Yeah, I mean, it's still early in the year. Yeah. Kind of stuff like that happens. It'll get handled when it gets handled.
Patrick, do a ton of people send that to you to make sure you're aware of it?
Not really, honestly. Everybody kind of just lets me play. I mean, they know how I am, so they don't need to send me anything to keep me motivated.
What have you seen just from the wide receiver group overall, and specifically getting Hollywood Brown out here in the first?
Yeah, I think y'all see. What impressed me so much about Hollywood is everybody told me he was a fast guy, but no one told me like how much he can actually do on the football field, and you can see it. I mean, he can run those over the middle routes, he can run really good routes, and he can run deep. It's not like fast is the only thing that he can do, and you've seen that kind of really kind of transpire over these last few days of practice, and he keeps getting better and better. And as well as the other receivers, you just see the speed that we have and how it's opening up everybody. And then even seeing Rasheed and how he's kind of taking that next step. I mean, it's a great group that all mesh well together. So I'm excited for their future because, I mean, the sky is the limit.
What is the progress you've seen so far with Rasheed? Just maybe even working him more, obviously, downfield, knowing he's such a good guy running after the catch.
Yeah, I know. He was making that progress at the end of last year. And I think you saw that in the playoffs. And now he's just continued to get better and better. I think he came into camp this year even in better shape. You've been able to see how much explosion he has catching the football down the field. And then obviously when he catches the football underneath, he's getting upfield fast. And I think it's going to help him a ton, just like it's going to help Trav, having those speed guys stretching the field, and then they can really work in that intermediate medium range. And then they can catch the ball and get yak after.
Something that you saw that he worked on in the offseason was his route tree and being able to stretch the field.
Yeah, I mean, him and Hollywood, they're just together all the time. And so you always see those videos of them working out. That's not even all. I mean, they're always together. They're always working on routes. They push each other to be great. It's been cool to see his game evolve, being around another vet receiver like that. And I'm excited for him, man. I mean, he's taking ownership of kind of being that older. I mean, he's only 1 year late, but being one of the older guys in that room with all these young guys coming in with the most experience. And so I'm excited for him to get out there and kind of show what he's truly capable of.
Actually, a couple seasons ago when the wide receiver position went through a transition after the departure of Tyreek Hill, you had mentioned your wide receivers were going to be like a committee type of coach. Mm-hmm. What is your approach this year with this group that you have? Would you like to see one guy be that guy?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it'll be necessarily just one guy, but I think there's we got a lot of explosive guys that a lot of different guys are going to have big games, but it's going to be the same few guys that are kind of be those lead candidates with other guys that will step in and make plays happen. Obviously, we got Trav, Rasheed's going to be another guy that works over the middle, and then I think Hollywood's going to do a great job of that, and then obviously with Xavier, I think as the season goes on, he's going to get even better and better, and you can already see the talent. I mean, y'all saw the catch, obviously, that went viral, but just running routes and doing all different type of stuff. Another guy that's not just a speed guy, but someone that plays tough, runs great routes. And so Feast did a great job of getting a lot of great receivers in there, and I don't think it's going to be hard for teams to kind of game plan one guy because we have a lot of guys that can go out there and have big games.
It is early, but how's the defensive secondary playing you guys? How are they playing so far?
They're playing good. Obviously, I think at the beginning, when you have no pads and we have a lot of fast guys, we surprised them a little bit with the speed that we had. But, I mean, they adjusted well. As the pads come on, they're being a little bit more physical, and that's what we want. I mean, we want to play against the best, and that's what we're doing on a day-to-day basis. And, I mean, Trent, man's good. Man's really good. And I try him. I always tell him I'm going to try him, like, once or twice a day. And y'all seen he's got me a couple of times, and I've gotten over him. But that's what makes great players great players.
We'll go across and go by.
Patrick, what has stood out to you about Bobby Witt's emergence these last few weeks particularly?
Yeah, I haven't really talked to Bobby about this a lot, but it seems like every year he kind of starts playing better at this time of the year and finishes really strong. And I've always thought, I'm like, what if he just starts fast and then see what happens? And that's what he did this year. And I think he's always had this stretch where he kind of goes run, but this is even another level. I love how he's led those guys. I mean, it's fun to watch those guys play. I think that's a cool thing, is that you can go to the K and watch a team that loves baseball, plays hard every single day, and loves each other and all friends. And that's cool to see on a baseball field.
Do you see any kind of parallel in what you've done for the Chiefs and what maybe he hopes to do or is trying to do?
I see the mindset. I mean, just from talking to Bobby and the little conversations that I have, and I text him every once in a while, he wants to be great, and he wants to be great here, and he wants to take Kansas City to the top. And, I mean, he knows the tradition that they've had in 2015, winning the World Series, and he wants to get back there. And in football, I got brought into a great situation. He had to kind of grow up with these guys, and I think it's been cool to see all those guys grow together and kind of put their stamp on the game this year.
We'll go last three, Steven, PJ, and Nick. Go ahead,
Steven. Patrick, you said you brought a TV up here. One of the reasons was to play College Football 25.
Yeah.
How much have you played, and have you led Texas Tech to a national championship yet?
No, we didn't win the national championship in year one. I'm in year two now. I chose four-star because I had to be realistic. I couldn't do a five-star, and it took me a while to become the starter, but we got a nice bowl win against Florida, and now we're in our second season. We actually have a big game against Kansas State tonight.
Felix,
I don't know if Felix knows. I got a big game against Kansas State, my road to glory. Sorry. Sorry in advance.
Patrick, in the run game, I mean, we see a running power and mix of stretch and toss and everything. Just what's the goal for the run game?
Yeah, the goal is to even improve on what they did last year. I mean, we have a lot of great players on the offensive line, and obviously a great running back with Isaiah, and a great running back room with Clyde coming in, and then all this competition that we have. I think it's to improve on what we did last year, keep making those steps in the right direction, and then hopefully if we can get the pass game stretching the field downfield even more, it'll improve the run game. That's what's going to make us a great offense, hopefully.
Last one, thank you, Patrick, for the new guys, Worthy, Wiley, and Brown.
Yeah.
How do you approach getting them to see the field the same way you are?
Yeah, it's just a lot. It's a lot of reps. A lot of reps, a lot of meetings. I mean, that's with everybody, and especially with those new guys. And I just liked how they work. They've worked so far. I mean, those guys have – we talked through the meetings the right way. After every rep, you see me talking to those guys on the sideline, and we're getting on the same page. And all those guys have made stuff happen. You've seen Wiley make plays. You've seen Worthy make plays. And obviously, you've seen Hollywood make plays. And I think it's going to be great to just incorporate those guys in the offense.
Thanks, guys. Yeah.
So that was Patrick Mahomes speaking to the media after practice today. Also talked about Bobby Witt. We'll get back to Bobby Witt Jr. ourselves a little bit later on in the noon hour. The quote that stood out, and our next guest who's going to join us in a second tweeted out as well. Similar to Carl Loftus, Mahomes was asked about the Raiders' Kermit the Frog video, and Mahomes said, quote, "It's still early in the year. It'll get handled when it gets handled." Let's add some more spice.
That's some John Wick stuff.
Let's add some more spice.
I'd be terrified if he said that about me.
October 27th in Vegas. Cannot wait for that. Up next, though, Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic, joins us. We'll get his thoughts on the first few days of practice and the first real practice today of training camp.
Chiefs Kingdom, this is Mitch Holtis, and welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Power on Cody and Gold. Every day at 11:30 on your official broadcast partner, the Chiefs. 610 Sports Radio.
Back here in St. Joe, post-practice, first padded practice of 2024. Our training camp coverage presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. And we've got our Chiefs insider from The Athletic, Nate Taylor, kind enough to stop by. He's in the tent with us. First time of camp we've had you on, man. I'll just ask you for starters. I don't know if it was you that asked the question. I saw your tweet, your reaction to how Mahomes, and then we told you off air how Karloftis in our interview answered the question about this dumb Raiders video that where this player thought it was a great idea to make fun of Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
You just can't make worse decisions than that.
No, you really can't.
Not professional ones.
For the last few years, I've said it's not really a rivalry. But ever since Christmas Day, it's become a rivalry again, and it's been such a joy to sort of watch.
Glad to have it back.
It's great. You know, it's not just Max Crosby and the Raiders now. We have literal, beef. And, you know, I know Patrick. He doesn't need to be prepped on this one, kids. he doesn't need to be prepped. He woke up this morning with that line, and it was just ready, just waiting. You know, I felt we as a media corps did a great job. Got a couple football questions in, got a nice feel about the pads and Kingsley Suamataia. And do you want to share now? Do you want to? My fingers are ready, sir. And and he pulled out the one liner. So with you guys telling me that George Karloftis knows the date of this. Mm-hmm. Gorgeous football game that's going to happen. Just what a time, because it makes almost leadership easy for Patrick Mahomes, for Travis Kelce.
And those are sleepy Chris games Jones. Against a bad team and a not good situation.
Yes.
Now you've just given me every motivation to beat you anyway.
Yes. And, I just love the fact that Patrick is aware enough to know that Christmas Day was already enough, right?
Right.
He was already – you guys were already a marked team.
Yeah, because you embarrassed him.
Yes.
You ruined Christmas.
Yes. And it's it. You don't have to do this. So I just – look, you
and
know.
And then Jamar Chase earlier in the week. I mean, they both are – thank you both.
Jamar's
at least Jamar's on a good team and a damn good player. This is some six-rounder that won't even be on the team probably by the time they play.
And so the beauty of this now is – what's the celebration going to be on October 27th? How many touchdowns will he throw? It'll be like third in inches when they're already up 20, and he'll check to a pass. Like, you just know it's going to happen.
Taking every over from Mahomes that day.
Yeah. and who knows if this young man will be in uniform when that game.
Oh, I hope so.
When that game occurs,
dude. Given, if he stepped on the, could you imagine
given his position
lined up against accidentally lined up against Worthy on a play like his poor kid.
Yeah,
his poor kid.
So it's one thing to be, you know, we've all been young before. It's one thing to be tempted. Okay, temptation's gonna come wherever. That's fine.
Sure.
You cannot put the, like, you, are they not?
Don't put the puppet on,
man. You cannot grab the puppet. You can say, oh, that's funny, ha ha.
And you certainly better not say,
thanks for coming to camp.
If he puts it on.
But what, son, what have you accomplished?
Lesson learned on that one.
Whew. Yeah, well, big you know, time. So we all get tempted, but it is fascinating to know that a puppet could get you to do the dumbest thing in training camp.
Yeah, I mean, and it's going to be the headline the rest of the way. On the field, it was actual pass a day.
Yep.
Am I wrong? So, like, there aren't that many position battles anyway. I would characterize this as kind of a boring camp, if we're being honest.
Sure.
As in, there's not that many storylines to follow. The roster is relatively familiar. Am I wrong for assuming that we were weak in the camp, and I'm like, okay, so it's Kingsley Suamataia at left tackle, and it is and then Tony at wide receiver. Like, he's the sixth. Is that it? I mean, are we just done there?
Yeah, kind of.
It kind of feels that way.
I don't know. Right. Kind of as of right now, yeah. We're pretty set in knowing who's got the talent to make the roster, who's got the potential to be a starter like, you know, Kingsley. He had a little bit of a rough day, but that's honestly.
The tackle group had a rough day.
I mean, well.
Felix worked over Wanya in a couple.
That's kind of expected for Kingsley just because he's never been in an NFL, a true NFL setting before today. It is a little bit concerning that Wanya Morris had a false start. That he got worked multiple times by Felix, who's had a pretty good camp as a second-year player, so congratulations to him. But, like, there's really only two position battles, in my estimation, left tackle and mm-hmm. who's going to be the starting cornerback opposite of Trent McDuffie.
It feels like that's Joshua Williams, doesn't it?
Yeah, right now it's Joshua Williams. We'll see how much, like, Nazi Johnson can push.
They loved him last year, so I kind of wonder.
Yeah, and it's clear that they're not trying to give him too much coming off the ACL injury from this time last year. But those are really the only two battles, right? You could say, well, Nate, who's the third running back?
It's a wide receiver. It's like some combination of Kadarius Toney and Mecole Hardman, if you want my actual answer.
Based on, like,
or LRZ.
Sweeps.
It's not even like.
Yeah, screen games. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just.
Yeah. Not worried
it's
about that.
At all, you know?
Right.
Like, however you want to put it.
And so, yeah, to your point, it's not like most camps in the NFL right now where there's true competition or you have a quarterback storyline that's really noteworthy. Obviously, what's going on in Pittsburgh, you have Caleb Williams in Chicago. These things will all be monitored. But for the Chiefs, it's roughly just getting through this as healthy as possible. There's only been one significant injury so far. And even Andy Reid said today that, you know, Justin Watson's day-to-day, but he could be back in a week from now, right?
Yeah.
You have Justin Reid, who I would argue doesn't necessarily need training camp.
Right.
So the question becomes, when does he come back after training camp, maybe even after the preseason?
I think it might be real close to the beginning of the season for Justin Reid.
But. Right. Yeah, my estimation right now is I've said this before, but I don't think Justin Reid probably will be out here any context. So that gets you to what, the second preseason game basically? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, how quickly can you get him up to speed based on just his veteran role and obviously being one of the leaders of the defense?
Who do you like out of that group? I think Goldman was going to ask the same thing. Out of that cornerback group, like you'd mentioned Joshua Williams too, but like, do they got enough in Connor and Cook and Jaden Hicks to kind of cover the physicality end? Because that's what they're truly missing in Legere-Steen.
Right.
I'm not saying he couldn't cover a guy. He can.
Right.
The physicality is what he did above other players.
Right. And I would say the only player who's capable of replicating that to some degree is Joshua Williams, just on the height, the length, his willingness to do press coverage, even against guys like, you know, Xavier Worthy and Marquise Brown. You're looking for Nazi Johnson to be more of a, you know, normal cornerback in terms of can play man, can play zone, maybe even slide him into the nickel in a certain situation. I wrote this in The Athletic, you know, one of the more intriguing players because we expect his role to increase is Chamari Connor. Now, they've put him at nickel quite a bit.
Yeah, they have.
But I did notice today that they sort of said, hey, let's just bring Trent McDuffie in here just a little bit. Let's just get him back into, like, understanding the role. So they're already starting to show you, being Steve Spagnuolo, that Trent McDuffie could be, depending on the personnel, depending on the formation, the opponent, could be nickel, could be on the outside, and that sort of has the most effect on Shamari Connor, because that means he could either be the third safety in certain situations if Justin Reed is back in time for the start, but also he needs to understand that he's going to play a lot of two-deep zone with Brian Cook if they're not blitzing a ton.
Sure.
So what'll be fascinating is, over the next week, how does Nazi Johnson look? Does he get better with more reps in pads compared to someone who is really vying for the starting role in Joshua Williams? And he made it very clear to us.
Mm-hmm.
Just a couple days ago, hey, I'm the guy who is most similar to Legarius Sneed, so I want the same opportunity that he got a couple years ago when he became a true starter, and then obviously he obviously built himself up to be one of the best cornerbacks in the league. I'm not sure Joshua Williams is going to do that, but he wants the same opportunity that was given to Legarius Sneed a couple years ago.
We got Nate Saylor from The Athletic joining us here from Chiefs training camp. We're inside the Comcast tent here. Appreciate their support of our coverage at training camp. Comcast Business, powering possibilities. Go back to the wide receivers. You know, Worthy back at practice today after strep throat. Needed
Hallelujah.
That, right?
Yes.
Big
he needs the reps.
Big time.
Yes.
First four passes, what, two of them went deep to Worthy.
Yeah.
A clear emphasis, get this man involved.
Yes. I love every step of it, too, because, again, with it being a relatively boring training camp.
He gives us something to watch.
Give us some sizzle, man. Give us a pop. Now, it didn't happen today, and that's okay. I think it's actually good for the secondary to see this level of speed once again consistently, right? And then obviously you have Marquise on the other side. So they're going to try to give him the ball a lot. I think how he plays through contact will be really, really intriguing. I don't think he had much issues today getting off the line of scrimmage.
He did okay there. He got free. He just didn't.
Yeah.
One coverage was just good. Someone held with him all the way down the field.
Yeah,
the other one, Mahomes kind of overthrew him a bit.
Yeah, Joshua Williams probably had the best rep from anybody on the DBs just because he was in the picture and was able to knock the ball away. On not a great throw, but a good enough throw for maybe a one-on-one opportunity for Xavier Worthy. We know as camp goes, the formations are going to change. They're going to air it out a little bit more, and they're going to want to see, you know, how much of these double moves can work, right? How much can Kingsley Suamataia hold up so that we can throw some of these elaborate routes to Xavier Worthy? I can't wait for that, because the first day at camp, at least with the full team and that 60-yard catch, it was just like, okay.
I guess.
We're so back, but you need to see it more than once.
I guess that's been the question I've had. Is it that they are force-feeding Xavier Worthy to try to play catch-up for an entire offseason missed, or is he just the man who's open all the time? Because, like, either way, when he's on the field, they're throwing to him more.
Yes.
Both.
Yes. I think it's both. I think it's mostly, I would say if I had to like parse it, I would say it's probably the former versus the latter, just because he did so much.
Yeah.
He did miss so much in OTAs. But also,
you know,
I got to test. I mean, even Patrick said today, and I understood what he was saying when he was like, you know, I won't test Trent a ton because why? He's great. But in my mind, fellas, I was like, "But what about when Xavier Worthy's on the other side? What about?
Then will you test and find out?
What about a little fades? What about some fades, some fly routes for Xavier Worthy on you know Trent McDuffie, just to see what it's like?" So, I know that Andy Reid wants to find out exactly what he can do, because all of this for Xavier is really for how do we show what he can do against Baltimore. It's so fascinating for like guys like, you know, Rashee Rice or Travis Kelce. This is about how do you look throughout the overall offense, right? Like, how do we function with you in certain matchups, certain looks, for the overall picture of how we install the offense and how it's going to change. So differently for Xavier Worthy is, hey, can you line up? Can you not make mistakes? Can you run proper routes? And, all right, when we go against the Baltimore Ravens on September 5th, he does four things really well. And we want to mix those things up so that
and work them off of the things we know everybody can do 10 things.
Yes. And so just so that it gives the Bengals something to look forward to, it gives the Falcons something to think about, and if we could just get one of those deep throws, man, it's going to make Rashee Rice's life so much easier if he's not suspended. Or we're going to put Travis Kelce in so many bunch formations that you have to respect the speed of Xavier Worthy, and he's going to be open day, snap, after snap, after snap. underneath.
Do you think Isaiah Pacheco is more of a receiving option this year? We heard him talk a couple days ago about slimming down. We saw him getting some side work right in front of us and working on pass protection.
All by himself.
We know Jerick McKinnon's not here anymore, and that was a big asset that they had was McKinnon's pass protection. How much do you think are we going to see more snaps basically from Pacheco this year? Not necessarily handoffs, but are they going to trust him more in the passing game?
This is the time to do it. Gentlemen, there's nobody else, okay?
Yeah.
They're doing Clyde Edwards-Helaire a favor. I didn't even really see him much today because they were just like, why? And who is the third running back? So who knows? So, yeah, to your point, Gold, like, he's going to get every snap, every opportunity to have a great season, to have a breakout year.
This feels like the wheels come off.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is the last full year where I can go into a season and feel like I'm getting Isaiah Pacheco.
And any running back.
Next year,
Todd Gurley was retired by like 26.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens fast in the NFL.
And because he has spent, you know, a considerable amount of time this offseason trying to catch the ball better, hey, let's see you a little bit more in the screen game because of your breakaway speed. And, you know, he's going to have to be a little bit more, you know, judicious on the toughness, on trying to run guys over, because it's a long season. He has not finished a season from beginning to end as a true starter. This will be the time for him to really show, hey, I can play 15, 16, 17 games as the number one guy. But also, yeah, pass protection will be important for him because I don't trust anybody else on this roster, guys.
Yeah.
Based on want to, based on the physicality, and obviously understanding the offense and having the mental acuity to do it. So I appreciate that you guys told me that. I was probably in the tent over here, but that you guys showed me that he's doing that on his own, because there is no Jerick McKinnon. Now, who's to say we don't call you in October?
He's
not signed with anybody yet.
Mike Pinnell popped up midseason.
They love
old friends.
Who's to say that, like, Jerick McKinnon might get a phone call? You know, hey, if nothing's going to happen from the trade market standpoint, which it usually doesn't, you got a half season in you, bud.
You have a few games in you.
Because it was fun to see that reality came for Louis Riesemann today. It came with two guys unblocked on the first handoff. Welcome to the league, son.
Sorry.
Third-team offensive linemen are not good, okay?
Yeah.
So
some first-team offensive linemen aren't good in this league.
Right. All that to say is, man, they're putting all the burden, all of the workload on Isaiah Pacheco. And I know he didn't say specifically what his goal is, but I know it's 1,000 yards rushing and about 14 to 15, if you have a great year, 1,600 all-purpose yards. So that's what he's put in front of himself. And more than ever, there's nobody behind him to take legitimate significance snaps away from him.
Let's say, going back to Rashee Rice, because you mentioned if he's not suspended, I don't think he's going to get suspended now. I don't know if it's just like, it's not all just vibes. It's asking around a little bit.
Yeah.
It's where the legal process is. The fact the league hasn't done anything. I'm starting to wonder if Rashee isn't getting suspended at all this year, and it's a 2025 problem.
Don't we have to know in the next like 3 weeks? I feel like by mid-August.
Pretty much.
You kind of need to know by the preseason games.
But if he plays all 17 games. Let's say he plays a full season. He doesn't get this year.
Let's say he plays a full season.
Yeah. What should the statistical expectation be? Because I think because of the off-field trouble, I think Gold's right. Because of the off-field trouble, we are not talking about what would be the normal expectations for a rookie wide receiver who had a 900 yards for
great
you last
season.
Year.
Yeah.
You would be talking 1,200, 1,150. You'd be talking about a jump.
Yeah,
in year two. What should be the expectation?
If there's no suspension, and I'll get to that here in a minute, I think that the real expectation should be 1,100 yards.
Yeah, I'm with
it's a little bit tricky because how many of those long passes are going to connect with Xavier Worthy?
He should have more room for running for the catch, in my opinion. No, it's
exactly.
Like, it's kind of both.
And he even here, and I think this is probably the best indicator of his potential in year two, is he recognizes zone coverages and the holes and the voids so much faster now than he did a year ago. And because, as Patrick said to us today, he's in better shape. Obviously, you go from training for the draft to, all right, I know exactly what I want to work on after my rookie season. So you're just physically more prepared for, like, football. He's going to have better opportunities for yards after the catch if there are more viable options around him running routes, you know. It's amazing for what he did last year, given the circumstances, because he was not expected to be relied upon so much. Everyone around him was god-awful at certain points of the season. Yeah. And Travis Kelce was dealing with a multitude of injuries, so he couldn't necessarily carry the burden the way he had normally done. So everything's really upon you, and they thrusted him into a role that honestly wasn't necessarily fair to him, but he did it in such an admirable way that, yeah, you should be excited for year two. The problem is there's video evidence of him doing the dumbest thing imaginable in March. And
so that's all you think about. So then, yeah.
Yeah, and so when it comes to the league, and I'm going to try to get to the bottom of this as best I can, it's really up to Roger Goodell. If I were representing Rashee Rice, I want to push everything as far back as I can. Another continuation. Another, like...
Well, he doesn't even have the criminal case on
which is,
the docket.
Which is... puzzling to
say. Well,
I
mean, you'd be on the dock. You'd already been in court, Nate.
Well,
a little different.
It's a little.
He also hired maybe the best attorney in Dallas. Uh-huh. The same guy representing
that
Jerry
attorney will
Jones.
Get you some time.
Yeah.
And he's busy, you know. I got to wait for my attorney. He's got to finish up this paternity case for Jerry Jones first.
I mean, it's perplexing. I'm a little befuddled with the legal process system down in Texas. But again, it's Texas. So if he somehow doesn't get suspended, it's mostly because Roger Goodell is comfortable with it. And I think that's the thing that I'm going to ask a lot of people in the league is, it's really up to Roger. Roger does not need the legal process, kids. Get that out of your mind.
He's evaded. They only say that when they want to say it.
Yes. And it's not real. Like, no. We have evidence of you being like, well, the legal process has six games. Just because I feel
he
like
he admitted it, he was driving.
Yes.
So, like, it's not like.
There's not really any new info coming out. I hear you.
Right.
My question is, do you think if the Chiefs were just opening up Sunday at noon in Jacksonville.
Oh, yes.
Versus.
I love where you're heading.
Versus it is the game.
Right.
Banner ceremony. They'll have
Ravens.
A little random group with the pregame concert in the tailgating area on national TV.
Uh-huh.
Does that factor in?
Of
whether
course.
It should or not, but does it?
Yes.
It'll be Imagine Dragons for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's always some band like that.
Yeah, it'll be. I mean, look, the NFL cares about perception.
Sure.
They're
business. They got a brand to protect.
Yes, they're a business. Like, they are a multi-billion dollar business. And if they didn't love the idea of Chris Collinsworth singling out Juwan Taylor, which I don't think they loved, but because it embarrassed them, it's like, we need to reemphasize that. Hey, guys,
they sent out a video
like
48 hours.
Yes, like it embarrassed the league that Chris Collinsworth was like, yo, what is
Juwan Taylor?
Yeah, it's like, yo, this is not football. So if you care about that, you have to understand that NBC is going to be like, well, in March. .. And guess who's
maybe
in.
They should lay off the crazy animations they normally do, you know, Sunday football. I suggest you don't try to do an animated car like they normally do, those crazy animations.
Those,
might not want to do that one.
Those pop, though, because the moment they do them, people videograph
them. You remember
them. And it's just like, we're back. We're so back in football.
We're
nonsense.
So close.
Yeah.
We're talking Sunday night football graphics. We're definitely back.
But Roger Goodell's going to be in the building. Right, the presumption is he will be in the building, he will be put on camera, and is he comfortable with
Chris Collins? We're talking about the accident and him not being suspended yet.
NBC having the video showing him doing again one of the most idiotic things you could do while behind the seat of a car, behind the wheel, I should say. So it's. That's the real question, because they don't need the legal process, even though the Chiefs have said, please let the legal process play out, which most teams advocate to the league. But really, based on the collective bargaining agreement, based on the amount of power he can wield,
he can do whatever he wants.
It's really up to Roger Goodell to do whatever he wants, or what he wants to recommend to the league, so that the league can recommend it to the Players Association, so that the Players Association can say, we don't really like this.
How about half?
For him to say, I don't care. It's this, you know? So it was fascinating that I'm trying to think of the player in Pittsburgh. I think it's Sutton.
Cam Sutton.
Cam Sutton. Just on a random day in whatever, early July, while I'm on vacation, Cam Sutton got, what, six games?
Yeah.
I believe that's
And he's
right.
not
appealing.
He's not appealing. So that tells you there's a possibility that even that kind of deal can happen between now and say
that's what happened with Deshaun.
Mid August,
when you fight the number that they give you, sometimes this takes a little bit longer. When they're like, hey, we'll give you a six, and you're like, that ain't going to work for me.
Yeah, or
I'm trying to get it to four, two, or whatever.
Right, but, you know, Cam Sutton, I don't think there's video of that.
No, I don't believe so.
I don't think there's video of that. I don't think there's already an admittance. You know, there's so it just – I don't know how it's going to go, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm just trying to hopefully inform you that it can go both – it can go a different way, either way, I should say, based on just all the things that are in play. And so I have to start getting myself to understand that I shouldn't be surprised if he's not suspended by the start of the year. But much of the conversation throughout this offseason was that he would be suspended.
And in fairness, looking it back up, Cam Sutton's legal part was resolved.
Yes.
He took a pretrial diversion program.
Which was smart on his part because you're getting suspended.
Yeah, yeah.
So get it out now versus later.
Sure.
Those are some of the conversations that you can have if you're representing somebody in a legal situation and they want to, you know, obviously get on the field. Some people will advise you to say,
fight it.
Right. And it's really up to you. It's your prerogative. But I don't think Rashee Rice is in a winning argument when it comes to do you want to fight it now versus if you do it now, you get it over with and you move on.
Nate Taylor from The Athletic, kind enough to stop by after practice today. We'll let you get inside some AC, man. Get some AC going.
This is great. This is great. This is the first real hot day. It's only going to get hotter, guys.
Oh, I know. Next week. It's We look, Nate.
It's only going to get hotter.
We're not happy about it.
Can't wait to bake out here in these lovely training camp practices.
Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic. Up next, we'll get to what's trending, get you caught up on some of the injury news today, plus Bobby Wood Jr., what one former general manager said about him, and the comparison is one you want to hear next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.